15 minutes late for the class. Yes.
Hi, Krishna, everyone. Welcome to the teleconference class on Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 15th chapter, by His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami. Today's teleconference class is also being broadcast on Mayapur TV. Guru Maharaj is in Mayapur, in his apartment, and there are also some guests in the room. The class will last 40 minutes, and then there will be an opportunity for questions. So Guru Maharaj will speak for 40 minutes, and then there will be 20 minutes for questions and answers. And I will just pass over to Guru Maharaj. This class is also being recorded. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. So,
Hare Krishna.
In the line.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So
how many are in the line? Okay.
Are you all comfortable here?
Okay. And here we have about.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So for last few weeks, I haven't been able to do this conference class, teleconference class in Mayapur TV class, because of GBC meetings and various other programs before that. The meeting just ended recently, and then started the Mayapur Kirtan Mela. So we had the Kirtan Mela for 4 days, and Kirtan Mela just ended yesterday. And guess what started from today? Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. So Navadvip Parikrama just started. So, okay, let me see how many devotees are participating in the Parikrama. There are two Bengali groups consisting about 1,000 devotees in each group. So 2,000, then 1,500 in the Hindi group, so 3,500, 1,200 in the international group, and then 700 in Russian group. So total comes to then about 6,000. Yeah, 6,000 devotees. Now plus Mayapur devotees, another 3,000 devotees. So about 9,000 devotees are doing Parikrama this time. There are 5-6 different groups. 2 Bengali groups, Hindi groups, English group, international group, and Hindi group, Russian group. So, yeah, very ecstatic. So I could visit only 2 groups today. I first went to the Bengali group, and then I went to Russian group. And it was very, very enlivening, this Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. But still, I decided to come back from the Parikrama to do the class, because Anand and Atma had been insisting that I have to give the class today, so I could not disobey their orders. Incidentally, Anand and Atma, two brothers, twins actually, they recently got initiated. Anand became Ananda Krishna Prem, and Atma became Atmaram Krishna Das. So, both of them are actually from London, but they now live in Delhi, in Gurgaon, and they're doing very well. They're in corporate executives, both of them. And at the same time, as we have seen, so diligently they organize these programs, and they're assisting me in various ways, especially various secretarial ways, and organizing me, which is a very difficult job, because I think I'm one of the most disorganized person in the world. And so, okay, do you all remember what was the last class I gave? These classes are classes on different chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Each day, each class, I'm actually conducting a different chapters. So last time I gave the class was on the 14th chapter of the first canto, which actually describes that Krishna left the planet. Arjun came back to Hastinapur from Dwarka. Yudhishthir Maharaj was already anticipating that maybe something is wrong, because Arjun was not coming back. Long time went by, Arjun did not come back, so Yudhishthir Maharaj was very, very worried. And also he started to see all kinds of inauspicious signs. And he was anticipating that something terrible must have happened. And he was thinking that maybe Krishna left the planet, but he didn't want to allow this thought to even come to his mind. He was thinking, just like a person at the time of difficulties do not want to believe that it may happen to him. So Yudhishthir Maharaj did not allow this thought to dwell in his mind. He saw how distraught, how heartbroken Arjun was. And so he started to ask Arjun, what actually happened? Like, did somebody insult you? Did you fail to give protection to a brahmana or a woman? And did you fail in performing your kshatriya duties? So he was thinking that he was not allowing his mind to even think of the possibility that Krishna may have left the planet. Although that thought was at the back of his mind, but he was thinking that that probably did not happen. So now, with great difficulty, Arjun, who couldn't speak because his eyes were full of tears and his voice was choked with agony, with great difficulty he spoke, and he told Yudhishthir Maharaj that his only shelter, his dearmost friend, his only object of love, Krishna, has left this planet. In his selfsame body, he went back to the spiritual sky. So Krishna's appearance and disappearance, both are divine. Janma karma chame divyam. So Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities and Krishna's disappearance are all divine. Krishna doesn't die. Krishna is nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam. Of all the eternal, Krishna is the supreme eternal.
Krishna is eternal. Krishna comes, then Krishna goes. Krishna appears, Krishna disappears. Abhirbhav, Tirobhav. Krishna appears, Abhirbhav, and Krishna manifests his pastimes, and then Krishna disappears from this planet. Krishna goes back to the spiritual sky. But still, because Arjuna had a deep relationship with Krishna, Arjuna is so overwhelmed with emotion. Although he knew that Krishna's form is eternal, but still he is feeling this emotion. So this is natural. So this is love. There is a difference between love and knowledge. In knowledge we may know, but due to love, even though we know, we cannot resist our emotions. So that is what Arjuna was feeling. My dear Lord, you have left me. He was crying all the time. And not only that, he was telling that due to Krishna's absence now, although his Gandiv is there, that bow, his celebrated bow, and all the weapons that he possessed, they're there. But still, he has become completely weak. He lost his ability. Because all that power that he had was coming from Krishna. And now that Krishna left, he is completely bereft of that power that he had. And he began to remember from the very first time when they met. When did they meet? When did Arjuna meet Krishna for the first time? At the time of Draupadi Swayambara. They knew about each other. They heard about each other, but they didn't meet. In Draupadi Swayambara, when Arjuna was actually in disguise, what happened before that? Duryodhan planned to kill the Pandavas in a house of Shalak. That Shalak is an inflammable object. Just in a moment, it just burns into ashes. A house was made out of shellac. Just like nowadays we make house of fiberglass, that was something like that. Shellac is actually like the ingredient that they use for fiberglass objects. So it's a house was built out of that shellac. And the idea was that they should be killed on a particular day. But Vidura warned Yudhishthira Maharaj that Duryodhana actually made such a plan, so be careful. And Vidura assisted them, helped them to dig a tunnel out of that house. And then one night, when the tunnel was completed, from the house, the tunnel went all the way to the forest. They escaped from that house and lit the house on fire. Although they escaped, but they did not want anybody to know that they were still alive. So disguised as some brahmanas, they were staying. They were traveling, and then they stayed in the house of a Brahmana, in a village called Ekachakra. Ekachakra, not too far from here. They lived there. And when they were there, they got the news that Drupad's daughter, Draupadi, is about to select her husband. And Drupad actually made a special arrangement. Drupad always wanted Draupadi to be married to Arjun. And although the news spread that the Pandavas were dead, the house caught fire and the Pandavas along with Kunti died. But Drupad did not believe that the Pandavas died, because he knew from the horoscope that they are not going to die young. They would live for a long, long time. About 125 years. 140 years. So, that's why Drupad made an arrangement that the condition for weaning Draupadi would be first to string a bow, which was impossible to string. Such a powerful bow. Like for Sita Devi, Janak Raj had the bow of Lord Shiva. This was one such bow. Nobody could string that bow. And then after they string the bow, then he'll have to shoot the target, hit the target. The target is a fish high up on the air, hanging on the air. And there's a disc rotating with one hole in one side. So that means it's rotating just at one point, the hole is through to the fish target. And not looking up, that one has to shoot the arrow. One has to look down on a pool of water kept on a pot, kept on a plate. Looking down, one has to hit the target. An impossible feat. And Drupad knew that only person who could actually fulfill that was Arjuna. So many kings came, tried, many kings and princes. Many of them couldn't even string the bow. While they were trying to string the bow, you see the bow jumps back. It's so strong. If you can't hold it down, then it will. And so what would happen? The person who is trying to string the bow, he'll be thrown into the space. Many of the princes and kings broke their arms and legs trying to string the bow. And what to speak of hitting the target. Maybe only one person could have actually hit the target. That was Karna. But when Karna came, Draupadi said that she is not going to accept a son of a Suta. Although he was the son of Sun God, and a perfect Kshatriya, the original Kshatriya, but by the arrangement of Providence, he was brought up by a Suta. A charioteer. He's a servant. Suta is a chariot driver. So he's a servant. So she refused to. So Karna left. When no Kshatriya could actually fulfill that condition, then Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, announced, if some Brahmana would like to try, he could. So at that time, Arjun stood up. And some Brahmanas started to laugh at him. When all the Kshatriyas failed, this Brahmana dares to hit the target.
And he said, maybe he has gone mad seeing the beautiful princess. He lost his mind. But some other brahmanas said, well, there are many brahmanas after all. They are superior to the kshatriyas. So maybe this brahmana will be able to. The kshatriyas haven't been able to. So this is how we'll establish the glory of the brahmanas. They're better than kshatriyas. So then Arjun went and looking down at that pool of water and that was kept on a pot, Arjun hit the target and the target fell. So Draupadi was won by Arjun. So Kshatriya kings and princes became very, very envious. They could not attack the Brahmanas because the Kshatriya could not attack a Brahmana, but they wanted to attack Drupad. They said that this person insulted us, invited us to his palace, and in this way he is insulting us. So they attacked Drupad. But then Arjun and Bhima came to his rescue. They came to his rescue. Bhima just picked up a tree. There were so many kings and princes assembled. And Bhima with a tree in his hand and Arjun with his bow and arrow that he used to hit the target, defeated all the kings. So at that time, Krishna recognized that this must be Arjun. So that is how first time they came across each other. Anyway, so Krishna or Arjun remembered that at that time I could win Draupadi from the assembly of all these lusty kings and princes only because of Krishna's mercy. Then he remembered how he was trying to please Lord Shiva at one time in order to receive Lord Shiva's weapon. Arjun performed a great austerity to receive Lord Shiva's weapon, Pasupat. This weapon is superior to even Brahmastra, Brahma's weapon. Lord Shiva's weapon is even superior to Brahma's weapon. So in order to receive Lord Shiva's weapon, Arjun was performing great austerities. So at that time, Shiva appeared as a hunter. And got into a fight with Arjun. That was a simple incident. One demon in the form of a boar was about to attack Arjun. So when Arjun saw that, he just picked up his... he was performing austerities, he didn't want to, but here this boar is attacking him, so he shot an arrow. And Lord Shiva also appeared there as a hunter, and he shot an arrow. So both the arrows actually hit the boar. Lord Shiva claimed as a hunter, just a hunter, regular forest-dwelling hunter, and he was with his wife. So he claimed that he actually killed the boar. Arjun said, no, I killed the boar. So they got into a fight. And eventually, that fight came into a fist fight. First they started off with weapons, and then when all the weapons were exhausted, they got into a fist fight. And Arjun was surprised that an ordinary hunter, and he can't defeat him. Then finally Lord Shiva assumed his form as Lord Shiva and told him, Arjun, I'm pleased, very, very pleased with you.
So Arjuna remembered how he pleased Lord Shiva. And it was only because of Krishna's mercy. So in this way, Arjuna was able to please Lord Shiva by Krishna's mercy. Arjuna also remembered how Bhima was able to kill Jarasandha. Jarasandha was invincible. Nobody could kill him. Nobody. And there was a condition that even Krishna couldn't kill him. So, it was at that when Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to perform a Rajasuya Yajna to establish his sovereignty over the entire earth planet. And also, actually, the purpose of his performing Rajasuya was to please his father. Because Narad Muni told him that how he met his father in the other world, and his father expressed the desire if Yudhishthira Maharaj could perform Rajasuya sacrifice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj consulted Krishna. Krishna said, look, in order to perform Rajasuya, Yajna, you have to defeat all the kings. That means all the kings of this world have to be subordinate to you. They have to come under your subordination. Now, it will not be possible as long as Jarasandha is alive, because he will go against you. And Jarasandha is extremely powerful, and so much so that Jarasandha actually captured 1,000 Kshatriya kings and kept them in his prison. And he is waiting to perform a sacrifice where he would, called Bhairav sacrifice, where he would offer 1,008 kings as a human sacrifice. So now, if you can defeat Jarasandha, then not only Jarasandha will be removed from your path, but all these 1,000 kings of this planet will become subordinate to you. By just performing one act, you'll achieve two purposes. So, but at the same time, Krishna told that in a battle, it'll be impossible to defeat Jarasandha. Therefore, the only way one can defeat Jarasandha is by fist fight, wrestling, Malla Yuddha. So they, three of them, Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, went in the disguise of three Brahmanas. And Jarasandha was very respectful to the Brahmanas. Whenever a Brahmana wanted something, he never refused. So although a demon, but you can see he has such a respect for the Brahmanas. Because he knew that by respecting Brahmanas, one acquires the spiritual piety. So they arrived to Jarasandha's court, and Jarasandha, seeing the Brahmanas, stood up and said, please tell me, what can I do for you? What do you want? And then Jarasandha noticed that although they came as Brahmanas, they don't look like Brahmanas. Their body looks like Kshatriyas, powerful bodies. And not only that, they have marks of carrying the bow. The bows are heavy. They are not ordinary bows made of bamboos. They are very special bows. And that kind of puts a mark. And he could see the mark. So he could recognize that these are not Brahmanas. They are Kshatriyas. But at the same time, since they were dressed as Brahmanas, he was ready to offer respect. So Krishna said, we will tell you at midnight what we want. So please come to our room at midnight. So Jarasandha came at night. Then Krishna told that, look, we are not brahmanas. Me is, I am Krishna. This is Bhim. This is Arjun. And since you promised that you will fulfill our desire, we have only one desire. We want to fight with you. One to one. Choose any one of us. Jarasandha selected Bhima. He said, Krishna, you are a coward. You ran away from the battlefield when you're fighting with me. So that means you are a coward. Arjun is a kid. He's young. So I will choose Bhim. And they fought continuously for 27 days. 27 days. Day and night. No one could defeat each other. Then at one point, Krishna just gave a signal to Bhima. He picked up a grass and he tore the grass. So in this way, he gave the indication. Bhima immediately understood what Krishna was telling. So he grabbed Jarasandha with his feet. He his foot. And with his hand, he hold on to the other foot, and just tore his body into two pieces. And his body split into two halves. That is how Jarasandha was born. And a demoness called Jara put his body together, two parts of the body together, and he came to life. So that is how he got the name Jarasandha. Therefore, that is the only way he could be killed. So Arjun remembered that it is by Krishna's mercy that Bhima could actually defeat Jarasandha. And in this way, Arjun was recalling one after another incidences how Krishna saved him time and time by empowering him and protecting him. Then finally he told that at the time of the battle of Kurukshetra, and the battle was arranged, Krishna came to rid the world of the demoniac influence. The demons were in this world causing lot of disturbance to Mother Earth. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. In order to annihilate the miscreants, Krishna came. So Krishna made this final arrangement, the battle of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna was recalling, on the other side, Kaurava side, it was like an insurmountable ocean of army. Just as one cannot cross the ocean, similarly it was impossible to cross this ocean of army. And this army, Kaurava army, had personalities like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Kripa, Bhurishtra, all these extremely powerful warriors. Bhishma was immortal. Bhishma was immortal. He wouldn't die unless he wanted to die. Similarly, Dronacharya, nobody could kill him as long as he had a weapon in his hand. Ashwatthama, also another immortal personality, an incarnation, partial incarnation of Rudra. Then Karna, the greatest archer. In archery skill, in a way, Karna was even superior to Arjuna. So it was impossible to win this battle. That's why Duryodhana was so convinced. that he's going to win this battle. So he thought, you know, let's get this battle, let's get into this battle and destroy these Pandavas, and I'll be free to rule the earth. That was Duryodhana's plan. That's why he was so adamant when everyone practically advised him not to get into the fight. But in this battle, finally, they won. Pandavas won. It was an impossible feat. How did they win? Because Krishna was with them. To prove that point, there is a very beautiful anecdote. After the battle of Kurukshetra was over, Duryodhana is defeated. He is lying with his hip broken. Just waiting to leave his body. So now the battle is won. Not only the army has been defeated, now the king is finished. But Krishna told Arjuna, Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas that the actual victory will be announced when you go to the enemy camp and take over the camp. So, along with the Pandavas, Krishna went to the enemy camp. Or rather, along with Krishna, the Pandavas went to the enemy camp. And they found that enemy camp was absolutely empty. Everyone left. Practically all the warriors were dead. Only 4 persons, and Kritobarma and Sanjay. So they came to the enemy camp. It was empty. The ladies have left. The servants have left. Everybody left. So at that time, Krishna told Arjuna to get down from the chariot. So Arjuna, according to Krishna's instructions, got out of the chariot. On top of the chariot was Hanuman. So Hanuman also left at that time. And as soon as Krishna stepped out of the chariot, immediately, without no fire, without no apparent reason, the chariot just turned into ashes. So everyone was surprised. How could that happen? How could that happen? So, at that time Krishna told that during the battle of Kurukshetra, due to the celestial weapons that Bhishma, Drona, Karna had used, this chariot was burnt to ashes many times. But because Krishna was there, the chariot was intact by his divine arrangement. So this way we can see that how Krishna had been protecting Arjuna during the battle of Kurukshetra. So many times, such invincible, such impossible weapons were released at them, at Arjuna. But Krishna made, Krishna protected Arjuna, neutralizing the effects of those weapons. One weapon was meant to kill Arjuna. And along with that weapon came Takshaka's son, who was there to take revenge for Arjuna to kill his mother during the burning of the Khandava forest. So not only that weapon, but it was empowered by the snake who was actually about to kill Arjuna, to take revenge. Then what did Krishna do? Krishna pressed the chariot and the chariot sank about 2 feet on the ground. So instead of hitting Arjuna in the chest, the weapon, the arrow, actually hit Krishna Arjuna's crown and took the crown. So this is how, this is one incident how Krishna actually saved Arjuna time and time again. So this is how Arjuna broke the news that how Krishna left this planet. And in his absence, he has become completely heartbroken. And then when Arjuna in this way told Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj was an extremely wise person. He realized that now that Krishna has left the planet, Kali has entered. And he felt now there is no need to live in this planet. So he decided to leave his kingdom. So he coronated Parikshit Maharaj, his grandson, on the throne, and then he performed a sacrifice called Prajapatya sacrifice in order to relinquish all attachments. Then he dressed himself in torn clothes, just some torn, worn-out clothes. His hair was loosened and he was looking like a madman. And he left home, started to walk towards the north, Himalayas. Then Bhim and Arjun and Nakul and Sahadev, the four brothers, also felt the same way and they also followed Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Draupadi also followed. Bhagavatam, of course, says that Draupadi and Subhadra recognized this mood of Yudhishthira Maharaj due to they also were feeling extremely heartbroken because both of them were so attached to Krishna. Draupadi was a very dear friend of Krishna and Subhadra was Krishna's sister. So they also met the same destiny. So here it means that they also left this planet at that time. So in this way, this chapter 15 of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the wonderful influence that the Pandavas experienced and how they felt when Krishna left. And Krishna left this planet, they felt, what's the point in living here? Now that Krishna is not here, what's the point in living here? So they also prepared themselves to leave. And in this way, through this Mahaprasthan, the great departure, without eating, without drinking, without sleeping, they just walked and walked and walked.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, can everybody hear me? Is it muted? They can hear me, okay. And can everybody see me? Anand? Yeah, Mahaprabhu TV is on. Okay, does anybody have any question? Any question? Yeah. They didn't want to go to heavenly planet. You see, that is the description in Mahabharata that actually deals with the Karmakanda. In Karmakanda, the goal is heavenly planet. Therefore, Karmakanda section of the Vedas doesn't give the information about the spiritual world. That's why in Mahabharata, generally in Mahabharata, the goal has been pointed out as heavenly planets. But then also in Mahabharata also you find instances like one sage was performing great austerity and the chariot came from the heavenly planet. So then he asked him, asked the chariot, the messenger who came with the chariot, that why, tell me what is there in the heavenly planet. So he said, there is a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment, beautiful dancers, beautiful singers, beautiful somarasa to drink, and beautiful gardens, and so on and so forth. And then he says, and for how long one can stay there? He said, one can stay there for a long, long time. There is no death. But when the piety becomes exhausted, when one's pious activities are exhausted, then one comes down to the earth planet again. So this sage, it's okay. So this sage was intelligent. Then he said, then what's the point in going there? If I have to come back here again, then why should I go there? So this is how, in bits and pieces, these informations are given for intelligent class of people. But generally, the understanding is going to heavenly planet. So it's in Mahabharata, there is a description of heavenly planets. The Pandavas went to the heavenly planet. But Bhagavatam doesn't say that. Another thing is that even if the Pandavas went to the heavenly planets, they may have gone to the heavenly planet, and sometimes they say that Yudhishthira Maharaja had to go even to the hellish planet and he found his brothers there. So even if the Pandavas, pure devotees of Krishna, went to the hellish planet, we have to understand they went there to preach. Just as sometimes we go to America to preach. Any other question?
Any other questions on the teleconference?
Hare Krishna, I'm turning on the question queue for the teleconference. So if you'd like to ask six, please dial star 6. And when you hear the instruction to ask a question, you can speak. Thank you. And if you want to ask a question, if you have any difficulty with it, you can ask a question on Mayapur TV chat as well. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, any question? Yeah. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna Swamiji, this is Nikhil from Roanoke,
yeah.
Virginia. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. I have a question, Swamiji. So, Arjuna,
yeah.
Even though he had the opportunity to be on the battlefield and he got to hear from Krishna himself and he understood the entire Bhagavad Gita and the essence of what he needs to do, why did he again feel this way when, you know, Krishna disappeared?
Very good question. The question is, even though Arjun heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, can you hear me? What's your name?
Yes, Swamiji. My name
Haribol.
Is Nikhil.
Yeah, you can hear. Yeah, Nikhil. Okay. Yeah, so Nikhil, I'm just repeating the question that you asked for others here. There are about 40 devotees here sitting. Although Arjun heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna and got the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, still, why he is overwhelmed with emotion in this way, knowing that Krishna is eternal? The answer is, see, this is devotional service. In devotion, one feels the love. And this love overcomes knowledge. Emotion supersedes knowledge. Love. In love, does knowledge come to play? Or does knowledge have the room? No, in love there is no room. Now this love is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Due to the influence of Jogamaya, a devotee feels an intense love for Krishna and he acts out of that love, because ultimately that love will matter. Knowledge is not going to take us back to the spiritual sky. Knowledge can at the most take us to Brahma Jyoti. But it is love that takes us to the spiritual sky, especially Golok Vrindavan. In order to enter into Golok Vrindavan, we have to develop this intense love for Krishna. Just a love that a friend feels for his friend. Love that a father and mother feels for their child. The love that a young girl feels for her lover. So when one develops that kind of love for Krishna, he becomes eligible to enter into Golok Vrindavan. And so this love is being displayed by Arjuna. It's not that he doesn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his thing is, my friend, where did he go? Where can I find my friend? Just like the friend may have gone to a distant place, or say for a young girl, her lover has gone to a distant place. Although she knows that he has gone there to make a lot of money and he will come back again soon, but does she dwell in that understanding, or she feels, where is my lover, where is my lover? So in this way, a devotee feels for Krishna. Does it answer your question, Nikhil?
Yes, Swamiji. So nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Where are you from?
Hare Krishna. Swamiji, I'm from Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay. You're from Virginia. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any other question? You have a question there?
Yes, if Maharaj Yudhishthira understood that Krishna had left the planet, how come he didn't say, realizing the people needed him for guidance?
What was that? I couldn't get this.
Maharaj Yudhishthira realized that Lord Krishna had left the planet, how come he didn't say, realizing that everyone
needs. Well, as I just mentioned, that a devotee has intense love for Krishna. And they act according to that love. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is, and the Pandavas are acting with that love for Krishna. And they are not considering, oh, now I have to stay on and preach. No. In love, that consideration is not there. Okay, one very beautiful example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this devotee named Abhiram Thakur, Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Abhiram Gopal had a whip called Jai Mangal. And when he used to whip somebody with Jai Mangal, he used to get Krishna praise. So, when Jiva Goswami came to, and Abhiram Thakur hit him with his whip, and he became ecstatic in Krishna praise. So he was about to give him another stroke. But at that time his wife came and told, please don't make him ecstatic in Krishna praise. He has a lot of service to do. No, it's not Jiva Goswami, it is Srinivas Acharya actually. Srinivas Acharya. He has a lot of preaching to do. So if he becomes ecstatic in Krishna praise, he won't be able to preach. So that is the point. When one is in love with Krishna, he can't preach. In simple words, it is also said that from Uttamadhika platform, you cannot preach. When one experiences this intense love for Krishna, he cannot preach. Therefore, he has to come back to the Madhyamadhika platform. So we have to see that they are not, at that time their main concern was, now that Krishna left, what's the point in living here? Because another consideration is, at that time Krishna didn't come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Sankirtan movement didn't start. So when Sankirtan movement started, then they all came in Mahaprabhu's pastimes to preach and deliver the fallen conditioned souls of the age of Kali. Yes, you had a question. What's it?
It is mentioned in the Mahabharata that when Pandavas left Krishna,
what's happening?
When they were going towards Himalayas. So gradually, one by one, they left the body. Like Draupadi left,
No, not materialistic. That's what happened. That's what happened. You see, they started to walk. You see, Bhagavatam doesn't go into the details. Yeah, okay. The question is that Mahabharata describes that they left in their Mahabharata, in the Mahaprasthan, the great departure. And there, Draupadi was the first one to fall, then Sahadev, then Nakul, then Arjun, then Bhim. And then finally, for Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj himself came. And Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't have to leave his body. In his self-same body, he went back to the spiritual sky. So his point is, like, what is the credibility of this description? Yes, the credibility of this description also is valid. It is valid. And this is what happened. Yudhishthira Maharaj, like Draupadi, they started to walk without eating, without sleeping, just walked and walked and walked till the body fell. So this is how they started to leave their body one after another. But the difference is, Mahabharata is describing that finally Yudhishthira Maharaj went to heavenly planet. And when he went to heavenly planet, then he found that Duryodhan and others are enjoying in the heavenly planet. So he asked, where are his brothers? And then he was told that they are in the hellish planet. Not a
So then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I'll be where my brothers are. So he went there. So this is the Karmakanda consideration. Mahabharata is giving the Karmakanda consideration. The Karmakanda thing is karma, is the consideration. The thing is, because Duryodhana and others died in the battle, when a Kshatriya dies in a battle, he goes to heaven. But the Pandavas, they had to go to hellish planet. Or not hellish planet, Naraka. But the point is that even if the Pandavas went to Naraka, they went there to bless the residents of Naraka. A pure devotee of Krishna, wherever he goes, darshane pavitra karo. Just by darshan, they purify everybody. Okay, Tomar Kuna, you have a question? Yeah. How? Ashutthama is, from his birth, he had this boon that he will be immortal. One of the immortals in this world is Ashutthama. He's still alive in the Himalayas, but he's roaming around like a madman. No. Swarga Loka is one of the higher planetary systems. Swarga is not the spiritual planet. Vaikuntha is the spiritual planet. Swarga is Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. That is Swa. Then Maha, Jana, Tapa, Satya. The seven higher planetary systems, one of them is Swarga. So when Mahabharata is describing Swarga, he's describing about this place. Mahabharata doesn't give the information about spiritual world. But the purpose of performing this sacrifice and all that actually is to go to the spiritual sky, not to get some material benefit. You have a question? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare. Yeah. This is how Kali is. He doesn't want Krishna Katha. You come and make some.
Thank you, Sima. There's one more question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Yeah, I have a question. I thought you never finished, Guru Maharaj.
Who is this?
This is Nandadula from Virginia.
Okay, Nandadula. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, you wonderfully explained in the Mahabharata that we never read some of the succincts. But the purpose of the Mahabharata and the devotees is relationship with Krishna. Now, I'm actually quoting Srila Rupa Goswami's the Padavali, like Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Labhate Tattva Lailyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukrite Nalabhate. In this, that in Prabhupada translated, pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So my question is, how to develop intense greed to obtain it?
Tatra lola matram. Intense greed develops out of love. That when you love, then that intensity automatically appears to be with the person. So that loulam is actually an outcome of love, greed. Because, see, if you love somebody, don't you want it?
Yes.
A person who loves money, what does he want? When the person who loves money, does he want sugar water?
No.
He wants money. That is the only thing that satisfies him. But when a drunkard who loves alcohol, what does he want? Does he want Ganga water?
No.
He only wants. So what is his greed? What is greeding for? What one loves, he wants that. So this lolam is actually love, an outcome of love. You develop your love for Krishna, that greed will automatically come. So the point is, Krishna consciousness is not a product of pious activity. Krishna consciousness is a product of love for Krishna. Okay.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada.